No accident that the records of Barbara the Grey Witch and Anton Zander LaVey, the founder of the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, are bestsellers, or that the Satanic Bible, which he authored, outsells the Holy Bible on some campuses. Absolutely no shock to anybody who knows anything about what's going on, because when Berkeley can grant an A.B. degree in magic to an occultist, you have a rough idea of what direction our educational system is heading in. It won't be long before they'll be granting degrees in Advanced Sandbox 202. Now, Satanism is distinguished by its brutality. I think it's well to point out that there have been quite a number of satanic murders still unsolved in the United States. I can cite one for you, the case of Jeanette DePalma, right in my own state, New Jersey, a Christian girl who witnessed to Satanists in her high school. Her trouble was she did not understand the nature of the devil, and therefore she exposed herself unnecessarily to danger. Jeanette disappeared. Her raped and disfigured body was found in the center of satanic symbols and those of black magic a number of days afterwards. Nobody has yet solved the murder of Jeanette DePalma, but a witch was called in to interpret the satanic symbols which surrounded her. I think also we ought to keep in mind that there are other evidences of this about us. The case of a young man called Mike Newell in New Jersey, who became so deep into Satanism and accepted all of the teachings so faithfully that he asked two of his friends, also in Satanism, to accompany him to a small lake near his home. They did. There he had his friends bind him, tape his mouth and his eyes, and push his body into the lake. He perished. Why did he do it? Because in the satanic ritual, he believed that he would ascend afterwards to the control of 40 legions of demons. And he couldn't wait to be in control of 40 legions of demons. So he sold his soul for it. Now, the Church of Satan, founded by LaVey, which is in San Francisco, is an interesting church. Began in 1966. It has 10,000 members right now. And LaVey has stopped keeping track. He's a former carnival hawker. He has no great educational background. He has a very nicely shaved head, a la Yul Brynner, and a lot of occultic mumbo-jumbo that he's absorbed, plus a cunning mind. He's parlayed this, plus the rigmarole of Satanism, into the First Church of Satan. However, you must not be deceived by it. LaVey does not believe in the devil. That's an interesting point. He believes that the devil is the collective force of evil in all mankind. He says there is a demon inside man that needs to be exorcised, not exorcised. Do you get the play on words? In other words, live, says LaVey. Live it up. Because when you look at the word live and reverse it, it spells evil. So the people who are always talking about living it up ought to remember that observation. What are they living it up with, and what are they doing? LaVey is known as the Black Pope. He has an honorary degree, DST, Doctor of Satanic Theology, which he conveyed upon himself. He has performed a wedding in front of a nude woman reclining on one of his altars. And then they have christening of infants, and then he got some more newspaper space when one of his members died in an automobile accident, and his wife insisted that the man be buried, quote, since he was a serviceman, with full satanic honors, close quote. And so he was. Now, LaVey had some interesting observations. Listen to them. People feel that this church is a clearinghouse for perverts, sex creeps, real losers, people that have been rejected by society. And it isn't, because the true image of the Satanist from the beginning of what by one name or another would be considered Satanism is that of the master or the leader, the controller of societies, the image makers. All these people that have been winners have practiced intrinsically a satanic concept of life. He makes no bones about saying, my church is based on self-indulgence. LeVay again. We believe in the pleasures of the flesh, living to the hilt, enjoying all there is to be on earth. Close quote. Now, what is this satanic Bible that everybody thinks is so important and that has made such an impact? Well, it's a fairly large volume, now in paperback, but it contains a satanic concept of life. It really is what I have dubbed it, the Bible of negation. There's nothing positive between the covers. Everything is a negation of Christianity, Judaism, or basic theism. LeVay doesn't say anything really positive about anybody or anything. His main critique is of organized religion and of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Anything positive that manages to seep through occasionally always has to be redefined in the vocabulary of Satanism. When you say love in Christianity, you are talking about agape, which is what? The love that God wants us to have for one another. When you say love in Satanism, you are talking about eros, which is not brotherly love and not divine love, but love that arises out of sexual desire. That's an important point. When you talk about the Lord of light, you are not talking about God, who is the creator of light. You are talking about Lucifer, whose name is Son of the Morning. Your vocabulary structure has altered into negation. And that's the way LeVay educates his people. He doesn't believe in a personal devil. He doesn't believe in demon possession. But what he does believe in is evil for the sake of evil, because evil is more fun than good. And this is precisely what he's selling to the masses. Now in Europe, Dr. Kurt Koch has written that Satanism is on the march with a vengeance. You will see the symbol of the cloven hoof, the symbol of the devil's pentagram and the goat's head in the lapels of Germans, Dutch, French, out in the open just as Christians wear the cross or the fish. You will also see the Egyptian cross of life. That is a satanic symbol. It is called the Ankh. It is a cross with a loop on the top. If you go back into ancient demonology, you will find the demon gods of Egypt, particularly Osiris, holding the Ankh in his hand on the walls of the interior of the pyramid bedchambers, where the pharaohs were laid to rest in anticipation of their great solar journeys to the land of the gods. There you will see that satanic symbol. Today, I find Christians running around with satanic crosses on their neck. One of them came into a church I was preaching in not too long ago. I haven't got any hang-up on this, incidentally. It just happens to be a matter of history. And a young boy came in, and he had an Ankh cross on him. And I looked at it, and I said, "You like that?" He said, "Yeah. Real cool." I said, "Yeah." I said, "It's real cool." I said, "You know where it came from?" He said, "No." "Oh, sure, I bought it." He said, "I know where it came from." I said, "No." I said, "Do you know where the idea came from?" He said, "No, I don't." I said, "That is the ancient Egyptian cross of life that is derived from the worship of Osiris and Seth." "Oh." And I said, "They were demon gods of Egypt opposed by Moses and repudiated by Jehovah God, along with Amun-Ra." "Oh." And I said, "So no Christian should really be wearing that kind of a symbol." "Yeah." He walked right off with the cross dangling on his neck. Didn't bother them one bit. It amazes me how Christians can look evil in the face and be thoroughly acclimated to it. Let me tell you something. If you can look evil in the face, if you can hear blasphemy, if you can tolerate the name of God and Christ in vain, and nothing happens to you, you're in real spiritual trouble. Because the nature of the Christian is to be provoked in the presence of evil and to resist it. The nature of the Christian is not passive, but active. And when Paul waited for them at Athens, Acts chapter 17, his spirit was provoked within him. And he went out and argued with them about Jesus of Nazareth and got a chance to preach his great sermon on Mars Hill. What we simply have to recognize is you get nowhere with the devil if you smile politely and ignore him. You get somewhere with him if you resist him steadfast in the Lord. For the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm sure we're all familiar with the fact that Christ sent out the 70 disciples, and then when they returned, they were exhilarated because a specific thing had occurred which really titillated their spiritual natures. They came back and they said, Master, even the demons are subject to us. They had really reached the top. The devils were subject. Jesus turned and said, do not rejoice that the demons are in subjection to you. That's an important statement because it indicates that they are in subjection to us. He said so. You don't have to be afraid of them. They're scared witless of us. They're subject. Jesus said, rejoice rather that your names are recorded in heaven. The Christian is supposed to be rejoicing not over the power to negate evil. That's wonderful. But over the power to positively proclaim the reconciliation of good. We're ambassadors for Christ to bring people into a redemptive knowledge of God. That's our bag. And that's where the action's at. To win people for Christ. The devil is incidental along the way. Don't get hung up on him. He's not worth the trouble. The main job is to go out into the world with the message, which alone can shatter the shackles of his power and set men free. Once you've seen this, you know the mighty power of God. Now here are some samples from a satanic Bible. I'm going to give you these so you get an idea of what the satanic Bible says and what Satanism is all about. Listen carefully. I don't think it really needs any consistent refutation, but this is in the satanic Bible, which is a bestseller. He's also written another book called The Complete Witch. And in that, it's just sordid pornography, so I don't even recommend that you buy that. One, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. You notice the negation. Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Three, Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit. Four, Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. Five, Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. Six, Satan represents responsibility to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, more often worse than those that walk on all fours, who because of his divine spiritual and intellectual development has become the most vicious animal of all. Satan represents all of the so-called sins as they all lead to physical, mental, or emotional gratification. And Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had as he has kept it in business all these years. Those are the 9 satanic statements which you memorize when you join LaVey's church. It's hard to get into his church, and it's expensive to stay in. Religious holidays. The highest of all holidays in the satanic religion is the date of your own birth. This is in direct contradiction to the holy of holy days of other religions, which deify a particular god who has been created in an anthropomorphic form of their own image, thereby showing that the ego is not really buried. The Satanist feels, why not really be honest? And if you are going to create a god in your image, why not create that god as yourself? Every man is a god. Does that sound familiar? You notice this recurring theme. Isn't it fascinating? Because it started in Genesis chapter 3. In the day that you eat the fruit thereof, you will become gods. He's still doing business on the same street corner with the same line he used thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And the wonder is that P.T. Barnum is still right. There's a sucker born every minute. The Mormons have bought it. Herbert and Garner Ted Armstrong have bought it. The Transcendental Meditationists and the Hindus have bought it. The Reincarnationists have bought it. And now the Theosophists and the Satanists. Every man is a god if he chooses to recognize himself as one. I suppose in the same line of reasoning, you could recognize yourself as a popsicle. As long as it wasn't a hot day. So Satanists celebrate their own birthday as the most important holiday of the year. After all, aren't you happier about the fact that you were born than you are about the birth of someone you've never met? Or for that matter, aside from religious holidays, why pay tribute to the birthday of a president or to a date in history than we do to the day that we were brought into this greatest of all worlds? Now, LaVey says, as I quoted before, that the church doesn't harbor sex creeps and people of this nature. It's on a very high plane. The Satanic Bible on sex. With apologies to Sigmund Freud. Satanism does not advocate sexual freedom, but only in the true sense of the word. Free love in the satanic concept means exactly that. Freedom to either be faithful to one person or to indulge your sexual desires with as many others as you feel is necessary to satisfy your particular needs. Each person must decide for himself what form of sexual activity best suits his individual needs. Now you are seeing what is known in logic as high-class double talk. The first sentence says, quote, Satanism does not advocate sexual freedom. And the remainder of the passage is telling you that sexual freedom is precisely what Satanism represents. And this is one of the great disarming factors of illogical persons. They begin with a premise which they get you to accept. Ergo, Satanism does not advocate sexual freedom. Right away, your defenses are down. Well, I'm glad to hear that. After all, there must be something good about it. And then when your defenses are down and you're just sitting there receptive to the next thing, you get... Free love in the satanic concept means exactly that, freedom to be faithful to one person or to exercise your sex with any other persons that you want. Each person must decide for himself what form of sexual activity best suits his individual needs. So if you're homosexual or if you're bisexual, if you're heterosexual, if you're sodomous, if you practice bestiality, no matter what it is, if it suits your needs, why, gung-ho. Now, of course, Anton wouldn't come out and say it that way. But this is precisely what it adds up to. Listen carefully. Every person must decide for himself what form of sexual activity best suits his individual needs. So that literally translated is pay your nickel and take your choice. We're right back to where we were when we started. This is the vaunted Satanic Bible. No wonder it sells so many copies on university campuses. There are so many people interested in swapping dormitories all the time. Satanism encourages its followers to indulge in their natural desires. Therefore, the most simplified description of the satanic belief is, quote, indulgence instead of abstinence. That's the core of it. Indulge, do not abstain. On the subject of love and hate, you cannot love everyone. It's ridiculous to think you can. If you love everyone and everything, you lose your natural power of selection and wind up being a pretty poor judge of character and quality. If anything is used too freely, it loses its true meaning. Therefore, the Satanist believes you should love strongly and completely those who deserve your love, but never turn the other cheek to your enemy. One recalls here the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for those who despitefully use you, and you will be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, because he causes the rain to fall on the just and the levees. From the book of Satan, blessed are the strong, for they shall possess the earth. Cursed are the weak, for they shall inherit the yoke. Blessed are the powerful, for they shall be reverenced among men. Cursed are the feeble, for they shall be blotted out. Blessed are those that believe in what is best for them, for never shall their minds be terrorized. Cursed are the lambs of God, for they shall be bled whiter than the snow. Life is the great indulgence, death the great abstinence. Therefore, make the most of life here and now. Words of the Apostle Paul come back with great force at this point. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For as by man death came, so by man resurrection from the dead. As in Adam all have died in Christ, shall all be raised to life. What a contrast to Satanism. Hate your enemies with a whole heart, and if a man smites you on one cheek, smash him on the other. Smite him hip and thigh, for self-preservation is the highest law. And he who turns the other cheek is a cowardly dog. The word live when turned around spells evil. Of course, it's a parody on the Beatitudes. The whole idea of it is, of course, the shock. It should come as no shock to Christians that the devil, who uses LaVey, would state things like this. The only shock that comes is that Christians do not respond to it and have a concern to actively combat it. Now, our time is fleeting by, and I just want to conclude with these interesting and, I hope, exemplary thoughts. There are 5 degrees of church membership in the Church of Satan. You're an apprentice, a warlock, which is a male witch, a wizard, a sorcerer, or a magus, which is what he is, chief witch, head witch. They publish the Cloven Hoof, which is a confidential newspaper. And so far as the Church of Satan is concerned, they are growing rapidly and spreading, particularly in California, because they are offering something the public wants. The mysterious and a rebellion against organized religion. What is the Christian attitude in all of this to be? We have seen that whether you recognize a personal devil or whether you recognize merely the presence of evil in all men, you are still going to have to come to grips inevitably with the revelation of evil as the Bible portrays it. Jesus Christ said Satan was a real person. He encountered him and conquered him. And here's an interesting point that you should make to the people who tell you that evil is only the collective form of man's degenerate nature or animal nature, that all of us are collectively Satan. Point out to them, if they are willing to say that Jesus of Nazareth, when he was tempted, was talking to himself, and if he himself was evil, and if they say yes, ask them to demonstrate where, why, or how. It's interesting, they don't do it. For you see, you can't maintain collective evil in the presence of Christ.
for he was incarnate good. Therefore, when he was tempted, he was not tempted by any base nature from within. He was tempted from without by another force whom he talked to and commanded, saying, "Get thee hence, Satan." This is quite different from the collective evil concept. And then, let's not forget what Satanism leads to. And I want to close with this thought. Satanism leads to the possession of the soul by demonic forces. Those who practice satanic examples are looking for satanic possession, and they will find it. I received a telephone call a few months ago, long distance from Florida. I had lectured at Jim Kennedy's church, Coral Ridge Presbyterian, and given a whole day seminar on the subject of the occult and Satan. A couple were there who ran a drug rehabilitation center, and they had a case of demon possession full-blown on their hands, and they didn't know what to do with it. But they were capable of recognizing it because of the lectures which I had given. They called me and said, "We've been praying for this girl for 4 hours. We simply are exhausted. Tell us what to do." I said, "What's happening?" They said, "Well, she's possessed with multiple devils." I said, "Did you get a count?" They said, "Yes, we asked them in Jesus Christ's name how many they were. 56. I said, "Well, that's a good beginning." I said, "Did you get their names?" Every one named themselves, screeching, but under the command of the name of Christ. For the power is in Jesus' name. And then I said, "Well, have you been exorcising the devils one at a time?" "Yes, and quite a number of them have gone." I said, "What's the girl's background?" "She's involved in Satanism. We found in her bureau drawer the Satanic Bible. She's been on drugs for some time. We found the Satanic Bible, and we found the symbols and the emblems of Satanic worship." I said, "What's going on now?" I heard this awful screeching in the background. He said, "They're talking in tongues." I said, "They're what?" "They're talking in tongues." I said, "Well, do something about that right away, because you can't understand them. And you want to understand them if you're going to have a dialogue." So the pastor went back into the room and commanded them in the name of Jesus Christ to talk English. They were talking multiple languages. They went back to talking English. And then they were exorcised one at a time. This went on till 2 o'clock in the morning. The girl was completely exhausted. They were ready to collapse, but they weren't going to give up. Finally, they called me, and they said, "They're all gone but one, and he won't leave. And we're having an awful hard time. What am I going to do?" I said, "Well, there's only one thing you can do. We're just going to have to concentrate once more on prayer and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to do it for us. So let's do that. I'll kneel here and pray and hang up the phone, and you go back in there, and we'll join together in prayer for her right now." "Okay." So I hung up the phone. I prayed. And I had a wonderful sense of peace, because I had said to the Lord, "Lord, time or space doesn't separate us. It shouldn't separate us from our brothers and sisters in Jesus. Lord, I'm right down there in Florida, right beside the bed of that girl, and I'm praying for her. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her and set her free." And I felt wonderful. Got back in bed, tried to go to sleep, and the phone rang. It was Barbara. "Dr. Martin, Dr. Martin, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone." I said, "Are you sure?" "Absolutely. We don't know what happened, but we were all kneeling and praying, and all of a sudden, she let out this terrible scream, and her body jackknifed up on the bed, and she dropped down again and went, ugh." And then we said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how many are you now?" And there was dead silence. We woke her up, and she's received the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And that girl has not only overcome drugs cold turkey, but that girl right now is studying to be a witness for Christ. And she's in a drug rehabilitation center, delivered from 56 demons. You say, oh, well, I don't really believe something like that. Yeah, I know. It's awful hard to believe something like that. I want to tell you something. It happened. And if you ever run into a case of demon possession up close, you will never, ever doubt the power of Satan. It is positively enormous. Right here in Southern California, in one of the largest churches in the world, I conducted an exorcism of demons from a girl over a distance of 100 miles, praying with the pastors while they were praying for the girl. And out of this girl came multiple devils. Since then, she has received Christ as her Savior too. The end of this age will be a time of trouble and of evil and of wickedness unparalleled. And the forces of darkness will break loose upon the earth. We must rest in the security that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And take Ephesians 6 and memorize it. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, and the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satanism and its satanic Bible will yield before the kneeling Christian who calls on that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bend and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us not rejoice that they are subject to us. That is cause for rejoicing alone. Let us rather rejoice that through Calvary, God has inscribed our names in heaven. And because of Jesus Christ, you and I can love the Satanist and despise Satanism and go forth to be more than conquerors through him that loved us.